Howdy, neighbors. Ron Hayes, Beef Buzzing with you today, talking China and U.S. beef with Kent Backus of NCBA. We're back with Kent in just a moment.
This is Greg Griffith with the Livestock Exchange. Friends, you need a professional working for you when you sell your cattle. That's how you get top dollar. And selling with one of the 8 commissions at the Oklahoma National Stockyards means you'll have a pro working hard on your behalf. The Oklahoma National Stockyards, still one of the largest stocker and feeder cattle markets in the world. Bring your cattle and consign with one of our commission firms. And while you're in town, go around the corner and have a great steak or shop for a pair of boots here in Stockyard City. Remember, the Livestock Exchange at the Oklahoma National Stockyards.
Did you know that the beef checkoff means many different things to cattle producers across the country? Producers say their checkoff is valuable for a variety of reasons, including...
It grows our foreign markets.
It spreads the word about the benefits of beef.
The beef checkoff helps me talk to consumers about beef production.
It improves beef quality.
Find out about these and many more ways the checkoff makes a difference for you and everyone else who makes that checkoff investment at mybeefcheckoff.com, paid for by your beef checkoff.
Brought to you by the Oklahoma Beef Council at oklabeef.org.
The prospects of being able to ship beef into the world's most populous country, the People's Republic of China, is very exciting to the U.S. cattle industry. But Kent Backus, the Director of International Trade and Market Access for the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, acknowledges that there will be costs to being able to get that job done based on the conditions that China has laid down.
We certainly recognize that the cost of production are going to be higher when it comes to producing beef for China, because there's going to only be a small percentage of our cattle that are eligible at first. And so that's obviously going to mean that our prices are going to be higher. But you have to also keep in mind that China has a very diverse market, and they have a very large market, a lot of unmet potential. We don't know yet who all we're going to be able to sell beef to, but we know that there's a lot of that high-end demand that's being unmet in China, and that's really where we're going to focus. Even if we didn't have these restrictions in place, we're still going to be the highest cost beef into that market because we're the highest quality beef in that market. We are a high-cost grain-finished product, and we're that way in most markets, and that's fine because those are the customers we're going after. But as the market develops, we're able to really develop our supply chains and our opportunities into China. I think we're going to see those opportunities grow. I mean, China represents 1.4 billion people with a middle class larger than the entire U.S. population. They become the second largest beef importer in the world. They're about to surpass the United States on that. And so there's a lot of opportunities that are going to present themselves here. While this is a smaller percentage of our cattle, there's still going to be a lot of opportunities that develop in years to come.
Backus says it's important to understand it's going to take some time to develop the Chinese market. But he points to a couple of their Asian neighbors regarding the potential.
With China, we've always used the phrase cautiously optimistic just because it's a hard market to predict, and it's a hard government to work with, quite frankly. But we have a protocol in place that gets our foot in the door, and it allows us to start to understand where will be most advantageous for us and probably some areas where we don't want to pursue. You also have to keep in mind that we've been banned in China for 13 years. It's been illegal to purchase U.S. beef in China. We know that there's stuff that's gone through the gray channel, through the black market, but now we're going through the front door, and it's going to take time to build that consumer confidence and to develop those supply chains. But if you look at some of the other Asian countries around China where we were banned completely, you look at Korea. In 2008, when there were almost 1 million people turned out in the streets of Seoul to protest U.S. beef coming into Korea, we're now the largest import source of beef in Korea, even with other restrictions in place. You know, Korea is now a $1 billion market for us. I don't think a lot of people saw that coming. When you look at Japan, we have other restrictions that are in place there, but they are our biggest export market. There's a lot of unmet potential. And now that we have our foot in the door, the market's going to be able to really work that out. So there are a lot of folks who are trying to predict what's going to happen. And I think we just have to let the market develop. We have to gather the intel. We have to do a good job branding our product. And when we do that, I think we're going to see China become one of the best markets for U.S. beef.
NCBA's Kent Backus. You've got the Beef Buzz on Ron.
The key to a resilient farm and ranch is soil health. Learn to apply soil health principles to enhance grazing and crop production in your operation at a free workshop in Enid, Thursday, July 6th, presented by No-Till on the Plains. Learn from producers experienced in continuous no-till and industry experts on the science beneath the soil. Get tips on livestock integration, cover crops, rotations, and more. Sponsored by Oklahoma State University and Green Cover Seed, visit notill.org for details and registration.
At your Beef Buzz, I'm Ron Hayes reporting.